It hasn't. I was in Cairo recently, and it was one of my more amazing trips I've taken for Uber. Obviously, as you pointed out, the economy is struggling. We're onboarding over 2,000 drivers a month. And I went to an event where we had 600 drivers showing up, kind of on the edge of their seat, looking to put their phone in their car to work. And so, and like everywhere else in the world, their stories were different. Some were looking to do this for a relatively long time as their main source of income. Others are looking just to add a little income. So I think it's at a time when we obviously want tourism to come back, the economy to come back. We on scale can be a pretty important part of the economic recovery story there.
I can imagine why there would be drivers looking for work. Where's the business coming from in terms of passengers if the economy is struggling? Where's the demand?
Well, it's interesting. It's a great question, Maggie. But as it turns out, even though our service offerings differ a little bit, city to city, that core principle of there's a lot of people looking to press a button and get a different way to get around their city, and a lot of people looking to press a button and get work, that's true everywhere. So in Egypt, obviously, epic congestion in Cairo. So a lot of people are looking for a different way to get around. We're trying to bring offerings at every price point. And ultimately, we want this available to, more exclusive offering of Uber Black for people who may be going out, for an anniversary dinner or a business outing, down to Uber Pool, which is our carpooling service. So it makes it available to everybody in the city.
Which is interesting because it isn't something we think about very often, but when times are tough, people can't cut back on transportation. They still need to get around. So it is a bit resistant in that respect. How are you grappling with some of the other challenges this presents? Because I can imagine when I saw that you were thriving in Cairo, I was shocked. I'm sure other people were too, that you're pushing into such a difficult area. One of the issues we know comes up isn't just security threats for the country, but the safety of female passengers, whether they are drivers or whether they are clients using your service. How have you grappled with that? Are you learning as you enter these developing economies?
We are, but obviously I think one of the reasons we've grown so fast around the world is people feel very safe using the service. So, it's interesting. I was in Riyadh on the same trip when I was in Cairo, and there it's fascinating. 80% of our riders in Saudi Arabia are women. So as you're starting to see more women join the workforce, obviously transportation's a challenge there. But generally, the notion we conduct background checks, that differs a little bit by country. But obviously we want to make sure that we're keeping people out of the vehicle who shouldn't be there. But the real game change is on the ride and after the ride. So the entire ride is GPS tracked. No matter where you are in the world, you're able to share your ETA with anybody you want. Obviously, you rate the driver, and the driver rates you. So the safety of the drivers is important as well. So we're continuing to invest in R&D. We're continuing to experiment. I think there's a lot more we can use technology for to make it even a safer experience. But that core proposition that you're surrounded by a suite of technology at all times, and there's no anonymity. You know who you're getting in the car with, what their car is, what their license plate is. And I think that's a big change in terms of for-hire vehicle transportation.
Yeah, and it certainly would seem like something that's going to give you an advantage over some of the more local competition who don't have the pockets for that R&D.